This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Alrighty, hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. According to Pete Nakos at On3, Tennessee is trending towards naming UCLA transfer Joey Aguilar as its starting quarterback. So there's some quarterback news for the Tennessee Volunteers. Remember, you had the whole Nico Iamaliava situation, and now he's at UCLA. Aguilar was just at UCLA, and now he's going to be the starting quarterback at Tennessee. And we know from yesterday that Alabama has named Ty Simpson their starting quarterback. I'll give you more coming up in just a bit on that. And there's been a lot of talk about Shedeur Sanders today. I know a lot of people were caught off guard when he was not getting any opportunity to throw passes in joint practices up against the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, Shedeur Sanders has an oblique strain, and Adam Schefter just during this break gave us even more clarity on this. And he said Browns quarterback Shedeur Sanders suffered an oblique strain today. He will not practice Thursday and is unlikely to play on Saturday versus the Eagles, which is disappointing because after the brilliance or the good performance, let me just say, that we saw from Shedeur Sanders in his preseason debut, I was curious to see how many reps he was going to get in those joint practices, which teams usually value more than the preseason games, and then bare minimum at least see him play up against the Eagles later on in the week. And now it looks like that's not going to be the case as the Cleveland Browns just have injury after injury here, where Joe Flacco is somehow the healthiest in this quarterback competition with Kenny Pickett and also Dylan Gabriel dealing with the hamstring, and now Shedeur Sanders dealing with an oblique strain. A man that does a great job covering the Cleveland Browns, a part of their radio broadcast. He, of course, Nathan Zagora, kind enough to join us on the show. Nathan, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
Yeah, it's good to be back with you, Zach. And obviously, I knew we were going to be talking about Shedeur when he asked me a couple days ago. We certainly did not think we were going to have this conversation because, like everybody else, I was at practice and we're watching the one-on-ones. And I was with my my play-by-play partner, Andrew Siciliano. And I said, I don't think Shador's even getting any reps in the ones. What's going on? And then we get into the team. And the first time, the ones were Joe Flacco and then Gabriel and then the threes. And it was Tyler Huntley. And I said, that seems odd. And so we kind of asked around and eventually we found out he had injured his oblique in warmups and was out. And it's obviously very unfortunate because he did have a very good performance in that opener. opener and showed, you know, the things that we talked about last time. I said elite ball placement. It doesn't get any more elite than that first touchdown throw to Caden Davis in the back of the end zone. When you look at the camera angle from the fans, kind of the ball was coming at them. You saw what a small window that was. Then he showed on the second touchdown the poise in the pocket, slides to his right, resets his feet. A great throw there. He had another one to Gage Larvidan out of the end zone on a third down. And you just saw, you know, there are things that need to be cleaned up. You're not going to be able to run around and spin, as Myles Garrett told him on the sideline, for those who have seen the mic'd up with Shador in the game. Like, yeah, that move's not going to work on me, buddy, or a lot of the guys in this league. But a lot of good. And so you thought there was some momentum there, and that he looked very much like the guy that back at the combine everybody thought was the second-best quarterback in this draft and thought was going to go in the first, or those who were his detractors thought in the early second round. And so all that momentum, you know, now put on pause at a time when, you know, there's not a lot of time left. Certainly not that Shador was in the competition to start week one, because I think that's pretty obvious that he wasn't, has still not received a first team rep this whole offseason, but he was pushing for whatever was going to be made available to him, I thought, after that performance.
Yeah, and you look at the numbers today from at least what I read, right? I know Kenny Pickett is dealing with the hamstring and Dylan Gabriel's dealing with the hamstring, but they were participating in these joint practices. Now you have the Shador oblique strain. What's just an update? What can you tell us about Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel in terms of their health?
So it seems like Dylan Gabriel's farther along than Kenny Pickett, because, you know, Kenny Pickett, we haven't seen Kenny Pickett in 11-on-11 drill in 3 weeks. And when you think about the fact that there's been, you know, just over 4 weeks of training camp, that's why it feels like, you know, this was a big week for Kenny Pickett. And we've talked about it on our show. We talked about the preseason game. You know, if you didn't see him in the 11-on-11s this week, it probably meant it was going to be Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco, amazingly, in his 40s, is the only quarterback, you know, that we've had that stayed healthy of the original four. And is, you know, he's had, as I've said many times, he's had the best ability on the field. And probably of those abilities, the most important has been availability. He's been there and he's playing well. He still throws a beautiful ball. He's 6'6". He looks exactly like a starting quarterback should look. But, you know, Kenny Pickett, I just think, unfortunately for him, has just not gotten to be a part of this competition. And so it's looking, you know, Joe Flacco to be the starter. And then now you look at Saturday's game and you say, you know, we were thinking we're going to get, you know, some Dylan Gabriel and some Shador. And now there's, we're not sure if Dylan Gabriel is going to be ready to play in the game, although he did 11-on-11s and I thought looked good, was sprinting out, doing the play action boots and all of that. We know Shador, it sounds like, unlikely to play on Saturday. I mean, Kenny can't go on Saturday. Are we going to see Tyler Huntley? I mean, that would be mind-boggling. So you hope that Dylan's able to go, and then he can get kind of what Shador got in the first one, get 50 plays, go into the second half, and, you know, hopefully put some good things on tape for him, because he's the guy they drafted first. You know, Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year, started more games than anybody in college history, thrown more touchdowns than anybody in college history, and now you want to see him get his opportunity. So I think from a Brown standpoint, man, you really hope that Dylan Gabriel is good enough to go in that game, because otherwise it really stunts your kind of evaluation of that position.
I know we're talking about three injured quarterbacks right now, Nathan Zagora, but let's just say in a few weeks when the season starts up against the Bengals that everyone is healthy. When you look at that depth chart, do you think it's safe to say that Joe Flacco will be one, Dylan Gabriel will be two, Shador is three, and then Kenny Pickett is probably not on this team?
I don't think so. I think Joe Flacco being the starter, I think will be, that seems right. And I think that'll be named sooner rather than later if it continues that Kenny Pickett is not able to reinsert himself in this competition. Behind Flacco, I don't know what that's going to look like. I think I understand what you're saying in the sense that, you know, if it's, you know, you're going to start the year with Flacco, then after that, you're probably going to want to see these young guys, Dylan and Shador. But, you know, Kenny Pickett, I think had Kenny Pickett stayed healthy throughout this, there's a good chance he was going to be the opening day starter. So I don't know if he goes from one to four in that scenario. That'll be very interesting to see, and how the season unfolds, I think, will dictate a lot of maybe what it comes next. I mean, obviously, look, you want Joe Flacco. If he plays great and, you know, goes all 17 games, that's then the Browns go on a playoff run. That would be amazing. If that isn't the case, though, I think there will be interesting decisions that have to be made about, okay, who do we want to see for how long? Do we want to see both of them? Do we want to give, you know, Gabriel a 4-game tranche? Do we want to give Shador a 4-game tranche? How that plays out, I think that remains to be seen.
You know, I'm under the impression, I know that it's been denied, but it's just what I believe, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, that Andrew Berry and Stefanski didn't want Shador, and this was
an edict
from the owner. That's fine. That's just what I believe. But my question, though, is what has been the impressions internally so far on Shador? And is if he's healthy, will he definitely be on this roster come week one?
Okay, so I just want to go because I know people can believe whatever they want to believe. I'm telling you, and I know as a fact, that was not the case at all. I think there were discussions, and even if you saw Jimmy Haslam's press conference, you know, when they all went home after day two, you know, there was no thought that Shador Sanders was going to be on this roster. And then after the fourth round ended, they got together. And even as the fourth round was progressing, he was still on the board. You know, AB got everybody. And this story's been told many times, sure, whether you believe it or not. It is the truth. And they just said at this point, it's a lottery ticket, right? We know that everybody evaluated him to be, you know, a first or a second round quarterback. We all know now that the pre-draft process was less than stellar, which is why he went at pick 144. So since he's been in, obviously, I think we've seen on the field the things that you saw on tape. And I think we saw that against Carolina, right? And so that is comforting. And that tells you, yes, this guy can be at this level what we thought he could be. I think for Shador Sanders, there is such a steep learning curve in terms of, for example, Dylan Gabriel came in well ahead of him in these regards of, you know, what it takes to operate an offense at the NFL level. And Gabriel, maybe from bouncing around three different places, has gotten more experience at just calling plays in the huddle. You know, all the things you have to do as to prepare as an NFL quarterback, all the things that must be checked pre-snap, setting the protections, making the checks, you know, getting the motions, get all that operational stuff. And I thought he did a very good job of that in his first game. He has worked hard. He has worked his butt off since he has been in this building. He still is playing catch up. And I think that, you know, when he gets to the point where he's at that level with the other three on those things, the talent's going to take care of itself. So I think everybody's been very pleased with him. And you want to see, you know, that learning continue and that process continue. And if it does, I think there's a good chance that Shador Sanders, as we talked about months ago, can be the guy that solved this problem for this organization. But there is a long way to go. That's potential. There's a long way to go and a lot of work that has to be done. And you need to stay healthy to get there.
Nathan Zagora, wrap it up with him talking about the Cleveland Browns and this quarterback competition, which has been unfortunately disappointing just because the guys have been able to remain healthy. So I'll preface it again, knowing that Dylan Gabriel's not at 100%, but you know, I had Zach Jackson on a few months ago, and he said he doesn't look like in the early part of OTAs like an NFL quarterback. I've seen Dow Ryder echo those sentiments as well. You're there, right? What do you see when you do see things out of Dylan Gabriel so far?
So I think it's been a mixed bag. I think there have been times where you would say that, you know, the height that maybe didn't show up on tape in college maybe has shown up. There have been a few throws over the middle where he threw that missed high and you just wonder, was he able to fully see it, you know? And then there have been other practices. And I'll tell you what, so the Monday after the Carolina game, I thought that was kind of a high pressure situation for him to go into that practice. The media is all there. Obviously, it's training camp. Every throw is being documented. I'm sure you've seen all the various quarterback trackers. And today, obviously, didn't have a high completion percentage. I thought both defenses, the Browns defense won the day and the Eagles defense won the day in the joint practice. But that Monday, he was sharp, on fire, threw three touchdowns, was really accurate, really decisive. I think that there are two things people have to remember with Dylan Gabriel, and it's unfair in some ways. He's getting kind of an unfair shake because everybody just wants Shador. And so when you want Shador, it's like, I don't want Dylan Gabriel, and we'll have to see. And that's the thing. That's the beauty of this game, right? Is that he's going to go play hopefully this Saturday, and how he performs will affect the judgments of people going forward. But he was drafted in the third round. And I think that there is a notion like Shador is such an anomaly. There has never been a quarterback drafted in the fifth round, at least that I can think of recently, where immediately the fans thought this guy was the savior, you know?
Good point.
Like that doesn't happen.
No.
And quite frankly, when you're a third round pick quarterback, you are not being drafted to be the savior. If that happens,
you got lucky.
Wow. Real lucky. But if you are Dylan Gabriel and you know, Kevin sees a lot of good things in him, the guys that he's worked with and been successful, like Case Keenum, for example, if you can be a long-term backup and you can be a guy that when you need to starts, that's a really successful draft pick. And I think the Browns believe his floor is that of being a long-term backup, and we'll see what he can do above that. I know he's done everything the right way in the building, in the meeting rooms, and now he's got to take that out onto the field. But this guy was successful everywhere in college. We'll just see if that, you know, can translate now to the NFL.
And if it goes the way that I think it's going to go, that Flacco's starting week one, and then inevitably at some point they'll pass the baton to someone else. I know the locker room doesn't make the call, but I do think some players' voices matter. And you see those interactions with Myles Garrett and Shador. You hear some comments from Jerry Jeudy about Shador. And I'm sure, right, they'll say positive things about Dylan Gabriel and Kenny Pickett as well. But I do wonder if you have Myles Garrett, who's the face of this organization, and Jerry Jeudy, who's a very talented player in this organization, if their relationship keeps on getting won over by Shador, how much that maybe impacts a future decision down the road in this regular season.
I mean, I think I know Kevin very well. He's going to do what he thinks is the best thing for the team and the organization. I think that there's no denying that Shador Sanders has an it factor, right? I mean, there's no denying it. It is palpable. It was the highest rated NFL Network preseason game in over a decade to watch him play the Carolina Panthers. The get-in price, the tickets they were charging to get in the lower bowl as it got closer to kickoff were $250, $300. I was told by some people that that's more than the get-in price was for Carolina regular season games a year ago. So there's no doubt he's a needle mover. And yeah, he's got that it factor. He's known, right? He was a brand and known, and obviously his dad and all of that. I think that if he is in a position where everything that we all see matches everything that the players and everybody else sees in the work and all of those things that goes on, I think it's all going to work itself out. And I think he's going to be very successful in this league. And I think Dylan Gabriel is going to be a guy that without question maximizes whatever gifts he has because of he goes about everything the absolute right way. And we're going to see, it's all going to play. I think it's going to play itself out. And it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, at some point we see both of those guys and then, you know, the chips fall where they may, because if I'm the Browns, I want to have a good idea. If I can say, and the best case scenario for the Browns that they can say, I can go into 26 and feel really good about going into it with either Shador or Dylan Gabriel. And if I can do that, I can use those two first round picks to address the bevy of needs that we have and add some real talent, or maybe even trade one of those and turn that into a bunch of picks like Chicago did. And all of a sudden Chicago, you know, is able to reload really quickly. That's kind of what the Browns need. So I think it's very important you see both of them, or if one of them really is separated by then, see that one.
You know, it's actually refreshing to hear that opinion, because I do think there's a large contingent of people that just look at the two first-round picks that they have for next year and already start thinking about next year quarterbacks and just go, oh, Dylan Gabriel's picked in the third round. Shador was in the fifth. Did they really want him? And some are starting to say, oh, those guys, they won't be the starting quarterback next year. So I kind of like how you're talking that maybe one of these guys, you know, and it seems like more like Shador than Dylan Gabriel could be the long-term answer in Cleveland.
It certainly would be the best outcome, right? I mean, and if you're the Cleveland Browns,
you need
oh man, now we can use these first-round picks on, you know, the ability to turn one into three first-round picks or two and get players around them, that would be an unbelievable outcome. If not, you have that in the back of your pocket, right? That if you need to be aggressive about it, you can be. But yeah, that's the ultimate outcome. They didn't, I mean, lottery tickets are lottery tickets. It doesn't mean it's a high percentage, but if it does hit, then it absolutely changes, you know, the calculus for this organization going forward. And so that's something that everybody who works for this team, and certainly those who root for this team, I think should want to be the case by the end of this year.
You know, when they first traded that pick and they didn't take Travis Hunter, I was like, ooh, I don't know how much I like that. But then you get the future one, and Mason Graham, I think, is going to be a stud for a long time. I was a huge fan of his when he was at Michigan. What have been some of the early returns on Mason Graham since he got in that facility?
Yeah, Blue Chip, they're really excited about him. Did a great job down in Carolina in the joint practices. And then in the game, you know, he got double teamed a couple times going against an all-pro and Robert Hunt. But I thought held his own, had a nice pressure. If you actually watch the touchdown play that Bryce Young threw the touchdown on, he had a good pressure. He was able to get outside to contain, but went through two guys pretty easily. And there was a period in the joint practices where they were running games. They were working on running a TE stunts. And it was him and Miles together. And it was the Panthers had no answer for it at all. And so they're very excited about Mason. And don't forget, and now we have not seen him in a Browns uniform for obvious reasons, but I believe that we will soon. And hopefully there's a good positive resolution to the allegations against Quinshon Judkins. But you also got that pick in that deal. So you move back and you picked up 36 as well as the future first, just to go back three spots. And they got, you know, what they considered, they had, I think, five blue chips in this draft, and they got one of their five blues in Mason Graham. So they're very excited about it.
Last thing I'll ask you, I'm in the mindset that Deshaun never plays another game for the Cleveland Browns. But whenever he gets healthy, does he still factor in to this situation?
I have no idea. And that's an honest answer. I really have no idea. It's one of those things. Listen, I have a lot of friends who are in the wrestling business, and I've learned a long time ago, you never say never, right? In that business, you never say. I don't know. I don't see really how that could manifest itself in necessarily I don't know. It's when that comes, I think it is going to be a very unique situation.
Yeah.
And I think it will be a very, And I know that the Browns have obviously been thinking about it and planning for it, but it will be an interesting needle to thread.
Where is he at right now from a health standpoint? Do you have any idea?
So he's posted the videos that he was doing well. He was with us in Carolina. I don't know if he's with on this trip. I did not see him today. That doesn't mean that he's not on this trip, but he was on the trip to Carolina. He was at the joint practices. He was on the sideline. They showed him during the broadcast of the game. So he's around the guys. The guys enjoy being around him. He's been in all the quarterback, you know, meetings. He's working really, really hard to rehab from the second Achilles injury, obviously. So we'll see. We'll see.
Nathan Zagora.
There's a lot of what ifs there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of what ifs with that one.
And once again, I don't think he's going to play, but when he does get cleared to play, that's when it becomes really interesting. It'll be something that we'll talk about down the road. Nathan Zagora does a great job covering the Browns. We appreciate it as always, Nathan.
All right, you got it. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Nathan Zagora does a phenomenal job covering the Cleveland Browns on their radio broadcast, obviously calling the games and all the energy that he brings all throughout the season. We'll take a break. We'll come on back after these short messages on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, I went out for lunch yesterday after I was filling in for Andrew Perloff on Maggie and Perloff. And I actually texted Perloff because I know Perloff loves to go to this restaurant called Sedell's in New York City. And that was the restaurant I ended up going to. So I had some French toast. There were some pigs in the blanket. You get some lox, some whitefish, some egg salad. You know, have a bagel, some coffee. Very good lunch. A little pricey, obviously, but that's the city for you. However, Sedell's is one of those like restaurants where it's tough to get in, and there's always such a demand to get into Sedell's that when you put a reservation down, you have to sign something that says if you don't show up for the reservation, it's $50 a person. So I went to the lunch yesterday and had the meal, even arrived 15 minutes early, and I paid the bill, right, in full, no issues. And as I'm getting ready to go to the studio today, I get an email from Resy, which you make the reservation on. You didn't show up for your reservation at Siddell's, and you've been charged $100. And I go, hold on. I already paid over $100 for my meal at Siddell's, and now you're telling me that I got charged for not showing up when I did show up. So I go to call Siddell's, and they have a bunch of them around the country. But I go to call Siddell's, the one in New York City, and you can't get to anyone at the front desk. So I left an email, and they tell you, okay, email reservations at soandso.com, whatever. And I sent them the screenshot of my credit card getting charged, and then sent them the screenshot of their notification. They ended up getting back to me. And not that I was expecting something, but when you mess up like that, and I did, in fact, dine at your restaurant, and you charged me for not dining at your restaurant, I thought maybe they would send me something else. And instead, they just got back. They go, that's our mistake. We apologize. We're going to rectify the situation. I'm reading this. Like, oh, maybe they sent me a little gift card. Oh, we're just going to refund you the $100 that we charged you that we shouldn't have charged you. I don't know, Stu. They should have sent me a gift card. It had to be $100. It had to be $100. Like, how about $50? Send me a $50 gift card, and next time I go there, and I'm going to spend over $50, not like I'm just going to go in and use the gift card. I'm going to spend well north of that. They probably should have done something for me. That's just something I thought about, Stu. If I was running Siddell's and I wanted to have good customer service, when you charged me for not showing, when not only did I show up at the restaurant yesterday, I was even early to the restaurant yesterday.
Yeah, you're probably right, but unfortunately, I'm not surprised that they didn't do anything.
Well, let's be real. They don't need Zach Gelb to come to their restaurant. If I don't go, there will be enough, I was going to say, bougie jackasses that will go to that restaurant. And yes, I will throw myself in the bougie jackass conversation. So that was that. I also read, and I know we were talking about Shador Sanders oblique, that Jordan Love has had surgery on a ligament in his left thumb. So he's not expected to miss much time. They say he could be back at some point next week. And they still obviously are tracking and anticipating that he's going to start the Green Bay Packers' first game of the season. You look at the Packers this year. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because they're a gold standard franchise. Maybe it's because they have the benefit of the doubt. You know, I had Andy Staples on with Maggie the other day, and he gave his 12 blue blood programs in college football. And when I was talking to Maggie about it, I said to Maggie, I go, when I think of blue bloods, I just think of basketball, college basketball. I don't usually understand it for, or I don't usually think of it for college football, but I get it, right? Football consumes us all. So if you want to make a college football blue blood list, I'm not going to trash it. But I thought that Andy State, 12 teams, that's too many. I said you could have just done five. And I think the five brands that I gave would have just been Alabama, Ohio State, Texas, Alabama, Ohio State, Texas, who else? Michigan, and then Notre Dame. In no order. Those were the five. 12 to me was too many. But when you go to the NFL and you talk about their blue bloods, that's a thing. Packers, Steelers, Cowboys, 49ers, and you know what? Probably the Raiders, right, Stu?
I was going to say the Patriots.
Yeah, but
it's more recent, but there's so many Super Bowls. I feel like at this point, they've got to be in that list.
Would they kind of be how Villanova is now maybe viewed? Now, Villanova did win a championship with that great upset up against Georgetown. But the last few years, that's what people started to claim them a blue blood. You know who it is better comparison? UConn.
Yeah.
Because UConn obviously was a dynastic run, and they've been the most powerful program in college basketball in terms of winning for the last 25 years. So, yeah, I would consider UConn a blue blood, and I would consider, I guess now, the Patriots a blue blood. But the thing with the Pats, and I say this as a Pats fan, they were dreadful. Before this 20-year run, I understand they made a Super Bowl up against the Packers. I get that. They made a Super Bowl up against the Bears. But that was a laughingstock of a franchise. an absolute laughing stock of a franchise. So the brand is in an elite spot now. But when I look at it from a history standpoint, up until the last 20 years, can you tell the history of the NFL without the Patriots? Absolutely. But inside those teams that we mentioned in the NFL, the Raiders are in a bad spot right now. The 49ers are still obviously good. So you look at the Packers, the Cowboys, it's just, we know what they are at this point. But you look at the Packers, they are an organization where if you look at their last two quarterbacks before Love, you had Hall of Fame quarterback, Super Bowl champion, Hall of Fame quarterback, Super Bowl champion. And Jordan Love has been good to start his NFL career. He hasn't been great, but he's been good. The second half of that season, his first 2 years as a starter, he got really hot. And then they won that playoff game up against the Cowboys. Then in the second run at it, the second game, he threw that interception at the end up against the 49ers. But you left that year with an encouraging thought on the Green Bay Packers. And last year, they were good. They weren't great. Some may say they were even disappointing. They made the playoffs and they lost in the wild card round weekend to a team that ended up going on to win the Super Bowl in the Philadelphia Eagles. So I go into this year with the Packers. I don't feel as if there's a lot of national pressure on them. And it's probably because the respect that people have for the organization and they give them the benefit of the doubt. Up, you know, you had Bart Starr. Up, you had Brett Favre. Up, you had Aaron Rodgers. So Love has been good enough that he'll find a way to be great. But I look at Green Bay, even if it doesn't seem like there's a ton of pressure on them, and I know you have this Jordan Love injury now, they got some talent on defense. On offense, they finally drafted a wide receiver for the first time since 2022. You got Josh Jacobs there, who had a good season last year. And Jordan Love, his first 2 years as a starter, has both made the playoffs and won one playoff game. That's a team. Are you just going to be stuck? Are you just going to be that team that you get 9, 10, 11 wins a year? You know, you could win the NFC North in any given year, but when come playoff time, you're not going to an NFC Championship. You're not going to a Super Bowl. So I want to see this year if the Green Bay Packers, even though they have this Jordan Love injury, but it doesn't seem as if it's a freakout situation right now. And I know we already had the surgery, still expected to be back next week or, you know, by the start of the season. I'm curious to see if the Packers could take a step where they're at least in a conference championship game this year. And you look at the last three conference championship games, the last 3 years, Eagles, Commanders, Chiefs, Bills was last year. Before that, 49ers, Lions, Chiefs, Ravens. And the year before that, Eagles, 49ers, Chiefs, Bengals. So if you take the teams that have at least reached a championship game in the last three seasons and you take them out of it, who's a team this year that you're going to be curious about or you think there's pressure on them to reach that conference championship game bare minimum? I'll start with Stu.
So I don't think this team is going to do that. I don't think they're going to reach a conference championship. They might not even make the playoffs this year, to be honest. But I think there's a lot of pressure on the Steelers because it is kind of a one-year, maybe two-year, but probably a one-year experiment with Rodgers. You have Tomlin, who is kind of maybe on the hot seat. They just re-upped T.J. Watt, so they're paying him a lot of money. They don't have the clear succession plan at quarterback for Rodgers. So I think this is kind of an all-in season for them, and if that's the case, you would think making a conference championship is at least a goal.
You know what? It's funny that you say that. I would have not have thought the Steelers for this just because even though the Steelers, right, they're one of those blue blood franchises, right? I think I mentioned the Steelers in those for the NFL. If not, I should have because obviously they're one of the more iconic organizations ever. But the Steelers, I'm just numb to it at this point. I look at them. They'll be anywhere this year to an 8-11 win football team. I know that's a big range, but they'll probably be 9 or 10 wins. Maybe they make the playoffs. Maybe they'll make wild card weekend, and then they'll lose in the first round. Steelers haven't won a playoff game since the 2016 season. So that's why I wasn't thinking them for this one. Now, I know my answer may be a little bit weird because this team has won a Super Bowl recently. They haven't been to an NFC title game in the last three seasons. And I don't know how much national pressure is on them because everyone loves their coach, and they just recently won a Super Bowl. And they got a lot of youngsters on this team. When you look at the defense side of the ball, Fisk, Verse, Young, Turner, they are absolutely loaded. And I saw that Micah Parsons, by the way, he had a little back and forth with Aaron Donald where Aaron Donald said, hey, if the Rams could go get Micah Parsons, I would come out of retirement. If I'm Les Snead, I'm saying F those picks, call up Jerry Jones. I know Jerry's probably not dealing Micah Parsons, but that's what I would be doing right now. But my team's the Rams. And it's kind of a mix of Stu's answer. You did it from, oh, you have Rodgers, the older quarterback. Now, Stafford's already won a Super Bowl in L.A., but this feels like the last hurrah for Stafford. I know he's going through all these injuries right now with the back, and you get the epidural and all that, but this feels like the last chance for Stafford. I know he already won one, but I don't know who their quarterback's going to be next year. Like, if it's not Stafford, I know you have Devontae Adams. I know you have Puka Nacua. I know you have the four players I mentioned, the defensive side of the ball. You got Kyren Williams. You got a lot of talent there. And McVay, that would be an attractive destination. But I do think there's pressure on the Rams to at least make an NFC title game this year. And I know you could say, well, Zach, they just won a Super Bowl, so it's all gravy. It is. But you don't know how many more times you could get back there. And you don't know if there'll ever be a better chance to win another championship than the one that you have this upcoming season with some of the unknowns in the future. Samter, what's your answer?
I'm going to go with the Houston Texans. This is a team that's won two straight divisions. C.J. Stroud took a step back. Completion percentage, yards, touchdowns all went down. Picks went up despite playing in more games than he did his rookie year. So statistically, he went down in every category. And yeah, they've won two playoff games. It's great. But we're talking about a team that's trying to build a championship contender. And if you want to be considered in that conversation, not just like a best team in a bad division kind of thing, you have to actually make the AFC Championship game to prove that you're taking that next step forward. They have definitely have to be there at some point very soon.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I am going to get a chuckle or maybe a bleep-eating grin from El Capitan Marco Belletti and the question I'm about to ask him. Marco, I need some fashion advice from you.
Okay.
So
you're at the bottom of the barrel there, my friend.
Well, I think you do factor in here. You wear a lot of shirts that have bands on them.
At times.
So I got invited to a party, and the theme, it's an emo party theme. And I have to dress up for this. Now, I'm not painting my nails black. I'm not doing eyeliner. Like, I'm not wearing whatever the bracelets are and stuff like that. So I need an emo type of band. Do you have any suggestions?
You came to me for this?
Yeah. You're like, that's, I feel like, your kind of bands.
Emo?
So I was it was recommended to me that I could wear a Black Sabbath t-shirt.
That's emo?
I don't know. That's what I was told. That's why I went to you.
You know?
I got a little lesson here. I was told emo and goth aren't the same thing. I always thought they were the same thing.
I don't know what the hell emo is, okay? So I don't know what category that is. I don't know what the hell you're supposed to be putting on or whatever. But if you're telling me Black Sabbath is in that category, then categories have been shifted and moved, and we're combining all kinds of stuff.
It's a young man's game now.
If that's the case, so be it.
I thought it'd be a little nice little tribute to Ozzy Osbourne.
I've seen Sabbath play a couple of times. I saw Ozzy before he died, obviously, a few times by himself with Sabbath. Put on a great show. I don't know that's emo. That's new to me. I don't know.
It was for someone's birthday party. I get the invitation, and I'm reading this, and it's like, oh, it's an emo's themed party, and I go, oh, yeah.
We have different words for different things. I almost feel like, go to the dictionary, find me the word that I understand, and tell me what emo is.
I'm an older soul, so I'm confused by this stuff, too.
I don't know what the hell emo is.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I kid you not, when I got this invite, I go, next time I work with Marco, I got this Marco.
I might even have a Sabbath shirt at home. I got a Zeppelin shirt on as we speak. I don't know what the hell emo is. Okay?
We'll take a break when we come on back. James Cook has a new contract. We'll get into some of these other player holdouts as well. We'll do that in about 5 minutes when we return. First up with the latest sports flash, a fashion connoisseur, El Capitan Marco Belletti. Let me tell you, you never know what's going to gain traction. So here I am telling the listening audience that I got invited to this party, and it's a emo theme party in the city. And it was recommended to me by the host of the party because I had no clue what to wear to this. I thought I could just wear a black t-shirt and black jeans. They said, oh, that's not fun enough. And it was said to me and suggested, oh, just get a Black Sabbath t-shirt. That's fine. So I said, okay, fine. That's good. Marco goes, Black Sabbath's not emo. And I just got a bunch of responses on Twitter. Joseph Voorhees, Sabbath is not emo. If I were you, I would get a shirt with an Emu on it and say you misunderstood the assignment. That's kind of funny.
I like it.
Danielle on Twitter says, Sabbath is not emo. Did you watch? I know the name of this show, but I can't say it correctly on the radio without making it say as something that Stu would dump it just because of the way that I speak. Bleep Creek. David is emo. You should dress as him. You kind of look alike. Huh? Hold on. David from Bleep Creek. Let's see. He thinks I look like him? We kind of look alike, this guy?
No, definitely not.
Who
right?
is this? Do you know who that is?
From Schitt's Creek?
Yeah, thank Dan you. Levy. You can say it.
Yeah, you can say it. It's the name of the company. It's the name of the show.
I know, but I would misspeak.
Oh.
I got Adam Devine a bunch.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I tweeted him, and he goes, Hot Boys Unite.
His name is Dan Levy. He's the son of Eugene Levy, the dad from American Pie. The famous Eugene Levy.
You think I look like him?
I don't.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, because of this was asked. Delta 9 Brian is extensively tweeting about his emo phase. And then, you know what? David Immerman, the great guitarist for Avril Lavigne. He said, hit up Hot Topic and get a My Chemical Romance shirt or something and call it a day. Now, I already ordered something, and it's funny that David said this, from Hot Topic. I went online and I got a Black Sabbath shirt because that's what was suggested to me. Now, I asked said person that invited me to this party, and I didn't think that she was considered emo. But I said, would Avril Lavigne be considered? Because then I could get some cool swag. Obviously, David Immerman, the great guitarist for Avril Lavigne. So maybe I messed this up, but since the person that is inviting me to the party said I could wear a Black Sabbath t-shirt, I guess that would suffice. Like, I already spent the $30. I'm not going to get it, return it, and then get another shirt. So, you know what? It is what it is. You get them what you get. If I am Walmart emo, that's the best version of Zach Gelb that you're going to get.
I honestly don't even know half of what emo is, but some of the bands that I do know of, as I Google emo bands, My Chemical Romance, as you mentioned, Fall Out Boy I've heard of, Rites of Spring, one of the earliest ones in the early 80s, Jimmy Eat World. If you remember the song The Middle,
mm-hmm.
they're considered an emo band. Taking Back Sunday, Paramore. So, like, these are all some of the famous, more known emo groups. Avril is not. She's
Did you say Green Day?
No, he's they're punk.
Oh, I Botcher, who actually was very extensive in the newsroom, he said you could do Green Day.
Yeah, Green Day is, but Green Day is more pop punk.
I wanna be an American idiot.
Then they are emo. Emo's more depressing. Yeah, emo's more depressing and woe is me as opposed to Green Day, which is more angry and anti-establishment. Avril is like kind of right on that border, I think, of like alternative punk and emo, but she's not quite emo, I don't think.
My dad is visiting family in California. And they're going to go to Vegas, my dad and my mom. So obviously our connection in Vegas after we saw Green Day play at a bar. And before that, we saw U2 play at the Sphere. So I bring this up and to transition here for a second. My parents want to go to the Sphere. And I told them, no, they play like a little 45-minute movie during the day if you don't want to go to a concert. They go, no, we want to go to a concert. Andy Gresh's favorite band is playing that night at the Sphere. The Backstreet Boys. How much do you think the cheapest Backstreet Boys ticket is? Now, when we went Super Bowl week, where you would think everything's inflated in Vegas, but you would think the prices would even be inflated out of the wazoo. I think we paid like $200 or something. It wasn't that much, and we got on the floor. Now, we bought those tickets an hour before the show. But for a Friday night, this Friday night in Vegas, what do you think the cheapest ticket is in the Sphere to see the Backstreet Boys? Zach is back. All right.
My guess will be the cheapest ticket. Let's go $350.
Stuart.
That was exactly what I was going to say, so let's go $349.
Santer, come on down. $706. You guys aren't anywhere close.
I'm more than double.
I said wow. to him, and I go to my dad.
Oh, my goodness.
He's trying to use some of his connections to get tickets. He also told me he may just put on his phone the video of the Backstreet Boys singing Zach is back all right, so hopefully someone gives him two tickets and gets in. I told him I don't have any communication anymore with the Backstreet Boys, so I can't help him. But if I know my dad the way I know my dad, and I know obviously he loves my mom, but for how many times they haven't done things because of money, if he spends $700 each on a ticket, even if they drop to $600 each on a ticket, he spends $1,200 on a ticket, oh boy, I'd be shocked. And Gresh is on line one. I wish Ack was here. Ack does a great Gresh impersonation.
He really does. That was surprising when he did that last week.
Ack does Marv Albert and Gresh in terms of impersonations. But I'd be surprised if my dad ends up paying that. I said to my dad, I go, you got to go to Piero's. He goes, I don't eat that much anymore. I go, Dad, I've seen you stuff your face like a fatso before.
But I don't think it even matters if he doesn't eat that much anymore. You have to have dinner. It's not like skipping dinner.
Yeah.
Get a salad. Get the garbage salad.
Caesar salad.
And then split a veal parm.
A veal parm. And then also you got to get the shrimp cocktail there. So
those shrimp are the size of my head.
They are jumbo shrimp.
Oxymoron, baby.
Yeah. We should start calling Samter that jumbo shrimp.
Just call me the oxymoron.
James Cook, by the way, he signed a new contract. 4 years, $48 million. We knew that holdout was going to end, or he held in, then held out, then held in. He got the new contract. Nothing new on Terry McLaurin, nothing new on Trey Hendrickson, and nothing really new on Micah Parsons. So there's the sports as we fill it in that segment. Alrighty, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a timeout. When we come on back, you'll probably yell at me for not understanding what emo is, but we will also play you some audio. We'll update you on some of the biggest storylines in the world of sports with some audio. We call it a news brief, and we get it rolling next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart,
for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.